Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're talking again with Dr. Steve Wellum about his Systematic Theology, the first volume that is out. We've been working our way through it. He's been kind enough to take his time to walk us through each chapter. And let me say it again, I hope, and let me encourage you, all of the listeners, to get a copy of this. He is giving us a taste of each chapter as we walk through it, but you'll want to get the full version in the book. Steve, great to have you back. Thanks a lot.
Great to be back, Fred. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Now we are working our way through. We are down now today to chapter 13. So we finished part one. We finished part two. We begin part three now today with chapter 13. Before we get there, let's regroup. Explain for us just in brief snapshot where we've been in parts one and two and how that situates us now for part three.
Yeah, so there is at least there was an attempted logic to laying out the book, so it's coherent. We have to constantly remember that this was originally going to be one volume, so all of it was going to be packed in. But of course, that was not the case. But part one, right, was just simply starting off in a systematic theology book. I mean, what is systematic theology? Why? Is it important? So just some of that discussion of the nature of systematic theology, its importance. It's we have to recapture this for the church. And systematic theology means a number of things to a number of people. So clearly what it means, how it's biblical, how it gives us a worldview, how it ties to the understanding of the entire Bible. So all of that part one, all the way from what is theology, the challenge of it in our day, trying to tie it to our contemporary society, the denial of truth, the modern, postmodern world, secular age. And so that's the context by which the church must now preach the gospel and speak the truth. And then from there, you know, it's issues of theological method, then turning to, okay, well, on what basis then do we do our theology, and that is obviously grounded in the two foundations, God himself and his spoken revelation. So we wrestled with what should come first, God or scripture? Well, they both go hand in hand. So we laid down the ground, the foundation, the knowledge or the epistemological ground to theology, which is God's revelation. Yes, natural, but uniquely, of course, special, right? So God's revelation in scripture. And so laid out the doctrine of scripture and discussions there of God's speech in creation, but God's speech uniquely as a word revelation, word written, which is scripture and issues of its authority, inspiration, and so on. And then now moving from there, so there's the foundation. So how do we have theology? How do we have truth? Well, God is there and he has spoken. And so now, all right, well, what has he spoken? Right. So as we do theology, we must take it to the entire Bible. It's important, and that's what part three is doing, to give some sense before we look at each of the doctrinal areas, before we say, well, who is God? Who are humans? Who is Christ? What is salvation? All of those doctrines are embedded in the entire revelation of God. So scripture, because of our doctrine of scripture, it is God's word written. It's not just individual books in our English Bible, 66 books. It's that, but it's also a unified revelation. Over time, God has given this revelation of himself we need, and that's the subtitle of the systematics. We need the whole canon to be able to give us then who God is, who humans are. We're not just isolated texts, but the whole Bible. But it's not just saying, well, we draw from the whole Bible, but I'm convinced, and this is the role of biblical theology, that God has revealed himself in a specific way so that over time, the progress of revelation, the unfolding nature of revelation, it's important to see how that progress of revelation unfolds.